All righty, hour number three of our radio program, and this is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Coming up in the final hour on a Friday, we'll do a little onside offside in just a second. We will get into how many no-doubt franchise quarterbacks are there in the NFL, and then we'll wrap the show up at 5:40 p.m. Eastern time with a ton, and I mean a ton, of NFL sound. Did a lot of hockey in the first 2 hours. We'll get to some more hockey right here, at least for a question, when we do a little onside offside. Stu, hit it!
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside! Defense number 69!
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb.
Alrighty, Stu Pock, what do we got cooking?
All right, so last night, as we've been talking about, Canada beat the United States in an epic Four Nations final thanks to their superstar Connor McDavid's brilliant overtime winner past Connor Hellebuyck. Now, both games between the two nations in this tournament were contentious, with many fights and tough hits, and of course, fans booing the opposing national anthems. Onsides, offsides, the Four Nations tournament will inspire more American kids to play hockey.
9.3 million viewers for Canada-USA final game on ESPN last night, higher than any NHL game ever. That's from John Buccigross. The Four Nations tournament will inspire more American kids to play hockey. It was great. It was wonderful. It exceeded all my expectations. I love hockey. I love hockey players. But I've seen this story before. When there is patriotism, when it comes to USA Hockey, and right, just even in my lifetime, whether it was 02, and they lost to Mike Richt, with Mike Richter, they lost to the Canadians in the gold medal game 2010, Parisi ties it up, you go to overtime, Crosby rips your heart out. Even shortly after that, with TJ Oshie and all the crazy shootout goals that he did score, there's attention to it, there's a heightened awareness to it. I know this wasn't in the Olympics, but this definitely delivered. You look at the mega ratings, and I think it also helped that the NBA was embarrassing themselves during All-Star Weekend, and the USA defeated Canada before losing to Canada a few days later in the championship round. But with all that being said, I know how this works. Hockey's still a small fish in a large pond. And the NBA will still be more popular. Major League Baseball will still be more popular, even though I don't know where the heck you're going to watch Major League Baseball if you're following that ESPN stuff. And then football, obviously, will always be the most popular when you look at the four major U.S. American sports. Now, USA Hockey does a tremendous job in closing the gap, right? Canada used to be all the way up here. USA was right here, like all the way down there. And they've gotten really, 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 really close to where the Canadians are. And even could beat the Canadians, right? We've seen them beat them before. But when it matters the most, you gotta win last night. And Austin Matthews, I'm not happy with you. You played like Toronto Maple Leafs, Austin Matthews, in a big game. Not United States Austin Matthews. So to answer your question, the Four Nations tournament will inspire more American kids to play hockey. I still think it's going to be one of those things where everyone parachutes in. The numbers are unbelievable. The ratings are spectacular. They're big. They're enormous. They're sensational. But you let this simmer down. People will parachute back in for the Stanley Cup playoffs. They'll parachute back in, obviously, for the Olympics next year. Do I think it will have this long, everlasting impact? Unfortunately, I hate to say it. I hope I'm wrong. But unfortunately, I do not. So the Four Nations tournament will inspire more American kids to play hockey. I will go offsides.
Offside.
All right. At long last, the Yankees are doing away with their antiquated no beard policy, with owner Hal Steinbrenner explaining the decision today.
If I ever found out that a player we wanted to acquire to make us better, to get us a championship, did not want to be here, and if he had the ability, would not come here because of that policy, as important it is, again, to that generation, that would be very, very concerning.
Al, do you know for a fact if you have lost out on any players because they were unwilling to?
No, but again, it's a concern that was raised by more than one person that I sat down with.
No, hold on. They did a press conference about this?
They did. I had the same reaction when I walked in today and they were doing a press conference.
I saw a statement.
Yes.
All right, I think you have to announce it.
Yes, yes.
They did a press conference.
They did.
And you have dopey reporters actually asking questions about the beard policy. Oh my. Hey, Mr. Steinbrenner, Tal, what's your favorite kind of mustache? You know, what's your favorite, how do you like your facial hair now since the Yankees are going to allow that? What are we doing here? That's ridiculous. All right, answer the question.
So many have pointed to the Yankees' desire to land Blue Jay star Vladimir Guerrero Jr. next winter.
He's going to be a Met, by the way. You know that, right?
Who also has a beard. We'll see. As a major factor in the timing, onsides, offsides, the Yankees will land more top players now that the policy is gone.
Wait, now hold on. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Yeah, I guess he does have a beard.
It's not a crazy beard, but he's always had a little something.
First off, the policy was dumb. It was stupid, if we're just being fair. But do I think anyone said, oh, I have to shave my beard, so therefore I'm not going to the Yankees? No, they probably just said, oh, the Yankees want to pay me all this money. I'll shave my beard even if I'm not going to be happy with it. So the Yankees will land more top players now that the policy is gone. I'm going offside. I don't think that's a determining factor.
Offside.
But it's good that they got away with this silly antiquated rule.
Finally. Yeah. The Cowboys had a rough year, of course.
You know what's going to happen, Stu.
What's that?
Yankees get out to a slow start.
Oh, it's the beards.
Oh, on the fan. This is what happens. George is turning over in his casket right now. It's because of all these players having facial hair now. That's what's going on. The Yankees have lost their way. They lost their tradition.
Oh,
when I fill it on the fan and I take those phone calls in about May when the Yankees get off to a slow start, not going to be happy. You'll have some Zach Gelb eruptions. I'll just be freaking out, you know, just going after callers. Because you know, right, some people will think that way.
So the Cowboys, they had a rough year, starting off slow before losing Dak for the season and finishing 7-10 and missing the playoffs for the first time since 2020. Now, after moving on from Mike McCarthy and hiring Brian Schottenheimer, future Hall of Fame guard Zach Martin is reportedly retiring at the age of 34. Onsides, offsides, the Cowboys will win more than seven games that they won in 2024.
I got to think they'll at least be 8-9. You know, I think they can make the playoffs. I don't think it's crazy for them to be 9-8 or 10-7. I really don't. And also, they had a bevy of injuries last year. That team was decimated with injuries. So I don't like the Schottenheimer hire. And yes, you know, Zach Martin is finally retiring. But yeah, I would think the Cowboys, I'm not saying they're going to go 11 or 12 wins, but more than seven, yeah, they should be able to get to 8-9 bare minimum. So I will go onsides on that one.
Devondre Campbell isn't doing himself any favors.
By the way, what a jackass this guy is. Seriously. You quit on your team. I'll let you read the quote. But, like, these guys have advisors. They have agents. And how stupid can you be to type this? You're talking to yourself as you're typing it. You know what you're writing. And then you go, should I send it? Should I send it? Yeah, I'm going to send it. Idiot. Idiot, idiot, idiot. Devondre Campbell, once again, idiot. Tomorrow, idiot. The day after, idiot. What a dope. You quit on your team. No one's talking about you. No one. And what, some fan tweets at him and brings it up? And he responds with what Stu's about to read to you. Idiot, moron, dope. And I don't want to ruin the question, but I'm going to say it anyway. Never playing again. But ask me the question. Let's go through it all. So I could roast this guy again.
Yeah, so he quit on his team. And the quote today, I ain't addressing bleep. I'm rich and never have to work another day in my life.
Rich and stupid.
And told Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch that when they begged me to come out there. End of quote. Onsides, offsides, no team will sign Campbell once the 49ers do cut him.
You could do a lot of terrible things. You could go to jail, right? You could do stupid things. And as long as you eventually get out of jail, you get a second chance, you know, the NFL is very forgiving. Right, we've seen the NFL, unfortunately, forgive people that drink and drive, abuse women, abuse children, right? The NFL's very forgiving. You quit on your teammates, you better be like the Jesus Christ of linebackers in order to get another opportunity. And also, guess what? You're not a spring chicken. You're 31. You turned 32 in the summer, and you've been bouncing around the league the last few years, and you've had a nice late redemption story in your career. Now, I liked him in Green Bay. I thought he did a nice job at the end in Atlanta. But you have been on one, two, three, now four different teams, and you're towards the back end of your career, and you quit. And then since you're such a dummy, and you can't admit that you're just wrong, you then say, yeah, I told them I got money. I'm good, blah, blah, blah. You got money. You're also dope. So to answer your question, if you can't tell, no team will sign Campbell once the 49ers cut him. On sides. If you sign this guy, you're a dope. You cannot sign this guy. And I remember, I think before the world shut down, I interviewed Devondre Campbell at Radio Row. I liked him. I was a fan of his. I don't know what's happened, but he's become a big dummy. That's what he's become. Oh, quit on your team. That's one thing, right? Not good, but that's one thing. You then have months to process it. No one. And I mean, no, this happened right after Army-Navy, or that Thursday night, I think, where we were taking the train together, Stu. No one's talking about you. And you respond to some fan, I guess, asking about this, and you prove that you've learned nothing. Like, if you're trying to get back into the league, you would just be like, hey, wasn't a good moment. We all have our bad days. I look forward to my NFL future. This dummy is like, hey, I'm rich. You know, they were begging me to play. I'm not addressing anything. I did no wrong. I ain't addressing bleep. I'm rich and never have to work another day in my life. Oh, my God.
Had to have been hacked, right?
Oh, who is he? Jay Will now? Yeah, right. Stop. You know what? I usually don't wish for people to lose all their money. If we find out in a few years that this guy blew all of his money, I wouldn't mind if this quote resurface. Oh, I just hate people that take zero accountability for their actions. Once again, if you can't tell, I think he's a big dummy. Alrighty, next one.
So John Morant, John Morant is all over the news lately. First, it was revealed that he was one of the many professional athletes who were robbed of valuables by a robbery crew. And on top of that, John's name has been floated in.
Wait, John Morant was robbed?
Yeah. Yeah. So
I didn't hear that story.
He's had that, and then he's
I
had.
I feel like all these athletes are getting robbed these days.
It's been a lot lately.
Mahomes and Kelsey, right? Didn't they have their house broken? I read something like that.
Ja had nearly a million in jewelry, watches, and bags stolen.
Oh.
That's okay. A lot.
So he's had that, and plus he's had trade rumors floated around despite averaging only over 20 points and 7 assists per game. Onsides, offsides, Ja Morant can still develop into a top 5 player in the NBA.
Well, he was about that life. Remember, he's driving around, flashing the gun. They claimed it was a toy gun, too. Remember that? And then, you know, you get robbed. But this guy's having an unbelievable season. And, right, he plays in Memphis. So it's like, when you get another athlete like this, I look at Ja Morant. I think the world of him. I loved him at Murray State. I've seen some rumors that the Grizzlies could be thinking about trading him. I don't think they should. Can he still develop into a top 5 player in the league? So you got LeBron, who's, you know, coming to the end. Steph getting up there in age. KD getting up there in age. So, like, Nikola Jokic going to be a top 5 player for a while. Giannis Antetokounmpo going to be a top 5 player for a while. SGA going to be a top 5 player for a while. You know, there's others, obviously, too. But, yeah, I still think Ja has potential as long as what happened to him, what he brought upon himself, that's in the rearview mirror and you don't go back to that stuff. Yeah, I do think this guy could still be a top 5 player in the league. I like him on sides.
The WNBA is in the middle of the offseason, but that isn't stopping Angel Reese from making more headlines. The Rookie of the Year runner-up tweeted, quote, I'm going to be a basketball player, model, influencer, businesswoman, podcaster, unapologetic, set records, create history. My goal in life is to become a billionaire, end of quote.
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere, Kevin Love responded.
Wait, Kevin Love is responding
yes,
to this?
Kevin Love responded saying, quote, I'm going to go ahead and take the under, end of quote.
It's a good line.
On sides, off sides, the Angel Reese hate has gone too far.
No. So, like, Angel Reese, here's my problem. She says she wants to play the villain role. And then when any criticism is directed her way, it's like, everyone hates me. So, like, you just got to block that stuff out. And then dress how you want to dress. I'm not telling Angel Reese how to dress. I have no problem with Angel Reese. But then she's like, oh, I get sexualized. And then she wears things that are very revealing. So it's like, it's almost as if she wants to live her life her way. But if anyone criticizes it, then it becomes a big problem. Now, I have no problem with what she said, right? Wants to be a basketball player. She's obviously a great one. God bless her. Model, influencer, businesswoman, podcaster, unapologetic, set records, great history. All that stuff's great. You should have the goal of being a billionaire. You know, I have a goal of dating Beyonce, right? I have a goal of, you know, making $10 million a year. That means it's realistic. Like LeBron James, right? LeBron James and Tom Brady the last 20 years are probably like the two in American sports, probably two athletes that we recognize the most. LeBron's net worth is $1.2 billion. That's LeBron freaking James. What do you think Tom Brady's net worth is, the estimated net worth of Tom Brady? This is going back to recently, February 2025. What do you think his projected net worth is?
I'm going to say it's under a billion. I'm going to say
$300 million.
Yeah, I was going to say like $800 or $900 million.
Oh, sorry. I cut you off there.
It's okay.
I thought you were just saying under a billion. Unlike Devondre Campbell, I'll say I'm wrong on that. That's my bad. So, like, don't get me wrong. Angel Reese, your goal is to be a billionaire, but you're not going to be. But is that hate? Kevin Love just said, oh, I'm going to take the under. And I think it's funny. I think it's witty. So the Angel Reese hate has gone too far. I think a lot of the hate is manufactured. I don't know how many people are actually hating Angel Reese. And yes, I know. People be like, Zach, look at the tweets that she gets. All right, you can look at the tweets that I get. You can't take all that stuff seriously. So do I think that she's actually, like, hated as much as people want to think she's hated? No, I do not. So the Angel Reese hate has gone too far. I will go offside.
Offside.
All right, and one last one here. Indiana Hoosiers head basketball coach Mike Woodson announced that he was stepping away from the job at the end of the season. Well, now St. John's head coach Rick Pitino, he joined Part of My Take and threw out an interesting name to replace him.
I'm going to have some people upset at me. If I was the AD at Indiana, I would immediately not even interview anybody else and hire one of the premier coaches in all of college basketball, and that's Chris Beard from Ole Miss. I wouldn't even think about another person. He's perfect for that job. He's a tough, hard-nosed, and I always judge a coach by his practices. And I have to tell you that those are some of the best practices and meetings with his team that I've ever witnessed. So now, I am a gigantic fan of Chris Beard, and I think he would kill it at Indiana. He'd have him in the top 5 to 7 every single year. Remember, he brought Texas Tech to the championship game. Mm-hmm. So he's a superstar, top 3 coach in my estimation.
So Beard, of course, was fired from Texas in 2023 after domestic violence allegations and is now at Ole Miss. Onsides, offsides, Indiana should hire Chris Beard.
You know what? We just saw in this last hire, I've been advocating for two coaches the last few years. Dusty May, which was easy, and then Pat Kelsey. I love Pat Kelsey. And Pat Kelsey in year number one has done a phenomenal job. They're going to make the NCAA tournament. And Michigan's going to make the NCAA tournament as well with Dusty May. So you look at Chris Beard. Indiana has been a program that's been down and out, right? You've seen what Louisville's been able to do with Pat Kelsey, what Michigan's been able to do with Dusty May. I see some people say, oh, maybe Dusty May goes to Indiana because he was like a ball boy or a GA for Bobby Knight. I would be a little bit surprised if Dusty May leaves. But you look at the potential candidates. I went to ESPN. These are the guys that they list as the candidates. Brad Stevens. I know he's already said it's not going to happen. I believe that's not going to happen. You have to make that phone call. You have to beg him. You have to say, pretty, pretty please, Brad, will you come save Indiana basketball? But I think Brad likes being out of the spotlight, and it's weird to say that he's out of the spotlight because he's the president of basketball operations of the Celtics, but you could hide yourself more in a front office role than if you're a head coach. And then also you'll be the savior there at Indiana, viewed as a savior. You better deliver quickly. So I don't think it's going to be Brad. Next on their list is Scott Drew. Now, if they could get Scott Drew, go ahead. But Scott Drew was just asked by Kentucky and Louisville, and he didn't want to go there. So until Scott Drew leaves Baylor, I don't believe he's leaving Baylor. Bruce Pearl is another option. If I'm Bruce Pearl right now, why are you leaving Auburn where you've built them and they're humming and they're the number one team in the nation? They go win a national championship this year to go to Indiana, who has lost their identity when it's come to basketball. So I'm going to say no on those candidates. So here are the realistic candidates of the top targets say no on ESPN. Buzz Williams of A&M. Grant McCaslin at Texas Tech, Greg McDermott of Creighton. I like the McDermott one, but is he going to leave Creighton? And you look at the name that you threw out there in Chris Beard. You know, Chris Beard had the off-the-court incident, obviously. We don't need to rehash that. But now he's back at Ole Miss. Chris Beard, no offense to Ole Miss, needs to have a bigger job than Ole Miss in the basketball landscape. Like, if he was coaching SEC football, different thing. Because what he did at Texas Tech was unbelievable. Then was at Texas. We know what happened, you know, right off the court at Texas. So, should they hire Chris Beard and you get the Pitino endorsement? And you know what? Rick Pitino could say anything. He could be like, oh, Devondre Campbell's the hardest working player in the NFL. And just listening to Rick Pitino, I'd be like, yes, whatever you say, sir. I love Rick Pitino's voice. So if Rick Pitino's advocating for Chris Beard, I feel like Chris Beard could use a bigger job and Indiana could use a savior. And Chris Beard, everywhere he goes, he does a solid job. So I'm going to go onsides there. I would be interested in hiring Chris Beard. All righty, Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. We'll take a break. How many no-doubt franchise quarterbacks are there in the NFL? We'll give you that answer next. So I don't know if this is true, but I Googled it during the break. So, like, you could Google my net worth, and there's websites that says my net worth is $4 million. I'm going to tell you right now, it's not.
Congrats.
All right? It's higher. No. So, Stu, because we were saying that Angel Reese wants to be a billionaire. I have to imagine she's worth more than this. But if you had to take a guess, what do you think the net worth is of Angel Reese off just a simple Google search? This is what it says.
Okay, with all the endorsements she gets, I'll just say a million.
I would think it'd be much higher than that. It says though 2 million on the internet. Now, that may not be true. I'm going to assume it's higher than that. Now, what do you think Caitlin Clark's net worth is, according to just a quick Google search?
Let's say 4 million.
Right around 4 million. I got to think both are making more money. I know the WNBA salary pays
they're really low.
Like peanuts. Yeah. But in terms of right the NIL money that they made and also all the endorsements, I would think that they have a higher net worth than that. But that's just what's out there on Google. Once again, it may not be true. There's websites that say my net worth is $4 million a year. So, all righty. Anyway, let me play you Tony Baselli. This is Tony Baselli. He was on Sirius XM. Do we have this audio? I think we do, right? Yeah, Tony Baselli. He was on Sirius XM radio. He has high praise for Trevor Lawrence.
You got to get the head coach right. You got to get the quarterback right. We believe that we have a franchise quarterback in Trevor Lawrence. Like I'll pound the table for that one. This is going to be his third head coach.
Yeah, and all the different play callers and all that.
And all the different systems and everything else. So that you can't do that. You got to help a quarterback have consistency and build with him and build it around him.
So off of that comment by Tony Baselli on Trevor Lawrence, you know, take Patrick Mahomes out of it, take Josh Allen out of it, take Joe Burrow out of it, take Lamar Jackson out of it. You take those four quarterbacks, right? Those are the four best quarterbacks in football. Everybody and their mother knows that they're franchise quarterbacks. So, Stu, give me a quarterback. I'll tell you if I look at them as a no doubt about it franchise quarterback.
All right, Tua Tagovailoa.
No. Injuries, one concussion away from his career being over. And I think Tua could have been a no doubt about it franchise quarterback the way we viewed him in college. Too many injuries, though, since then, even with the hip and the ankle. And now when he gets into the league, right, it's concussion after concussion. We've never seen Tua win a playoff game. I think he's a good quarterback. He did show his value this year when he did go down. The Dolphins went from, ended up being a terrible football team without him. But do I look at him as a great franchise quarterback? No, I do not. He is not a no doubt about a franchise quarterback.
CJ Stroud.
I think you got to say yes. And I wondered how great he could be coming out of college. And I know that this year wasn't his best year, but the last 2 years, he's changed the entire direction of the Houston franchise, Houston Texans organization and their franchise. So, yeah, I think for the foreseeable future, he's a top 7-8 quarterback in the NFL. So, yeah, I would say no doubt about it.
All right. Do you agree with Baselli and Trevor Lawrence?
I do not. I still think he could go on to have a really good career, but I got to see it. We've been told that this guy has been tabbed as a generational talent. He hasn't been miserable in the NFL, but he has not been great. So I can't say that he's definitely a no doubt about it franchise quarterback.
What about Justin Herbert?
Gives me Philip Rivers vibes. And I think Philip Rivers is a Hall of Famer, right? And you could be a franchise quarterback. Like, Philip Rivers was a franchise quarterback. But our definition of a franchise quarterback is, right, Hall of Famer, which Philip Rivers can be and Justin Herbert can be. But then also, you win a Super Bowl. And I haven't seen Justin Herbert win a playoff game yet. So I think he's very, very good. And his stats are really good. And right, Stu, you would love to have Justin Herbert quarterback the Raiders. Even though I'm being honest, I think Drake May is going to be really damn good. If you told me right now I could get Justin Herbert over Drake May, I would take it. I would. But no doubt about a franchise quarterback where this guy's going to be a Hall of Famer and a Super Bowl champion. That's like kind of the way that we view it. I can't go there yet with Herbert.
What about Dak Prescott?
No. Dak's very, very good. Very good. His stats will be unbelievable at the end of his career. That guy, though, I don't even know if he's ever going to forget a Super Bowl. I don't know if he's ever going to play an NFC Championship game. You know, good quarterback, but not a franchise.
Someone who almost made it to the Super Bowl in his rookie year, Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, after 1 year, absolutely. And I loved what he did at LSU with no defense for those 2 years that he was there, won a Heisman Trophy. And then this year, the Commanders were down and out, and then they were in the NFC title game, and now they're becoming a destination, absolutely, with Jaden Daniels.
And coming off of a Super Bowl champion, about Jalen Hurts?
Yes, 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 yes. Is it possible that a guy could be a top five quarterback in the NFL, a Super Bowl champion, a Super Bowl MVP, and he could still not get the respect that he deserves? He's the fifth best quarterback in football now. He's outplayed Patrick Mahomes twice in a Super Bowl. And here's what I love about Jalen Hurts. There's no ego. Like, Jalen Hurts doesn't care if Saquon Barkley is the face, or if he's the face, or if A.J. Brown's the face, or if Devontae Smith's the face, or if the offensive line's the face. He doesn't care how they win, just as long as they win. Absolutely. Jalen Hurts is the franchise quarterback.
Staying in the NFC, what about Jared Goff?
I'm going to say very good. I'm not saying he's a no-doubt franchise quarterback. Could in 2 years. People say now the Lions have to go bring in a different quarterback. Yes, this year was made for him to get to a Super Bowl, and he was terrible up against the Commanders. He had a great regular season, but the postseason let you down, so I can't say he's a no-doubt franchise quarterback.
Is Jordan Love a no-doubt franchise quarterback?
Ooh. So he's in Green Bay, where they just pump out Super Bowl champion and Hall of Fame quarterbacks. I got to see more from Jordan Love. Because in Jordan Love's first 2 years as a starter, his first year, the first half of the first year, up and down. Then the second year, I think we talked about this numerous times, it was like 20 touchdowns to one interception and won a playoff game, right? And then in the divisional round after winning that playoff game, threw across his body, interception against the Niners, but he's a gunslinger. Then this year, I think they need to go get him a number one wide receiver. They tried the wide receiver by committee, and it just didn't pop off. He was fine this year, but we thought he was going to take that next step forward, and he didn't. So I think he's lurking, but I'm not going to say right now he's a no doubt about a franchise quarterback.
After 1 year, what about Caleb Williams?
I can't say that. I think Caleb Williams could be really damn good, but he's also working with having the uphill battle of playing in Chicago, where quarterbacks just go to die pretty much. Now you get Ben Johnson, so you better be better this season. But can I say he's a no doubt about a franchise quarterback? I cannot.
What about Baker Mayfield?
You know what? This could be controversial. I'm saying yes. He's got moxie, man. That guy just threw for 41 touchdowns this year. That dude is a leader. I thought the Bucs were going to crumble without Tom Brady. They made the playoffs twice. They made the first 2 years without Tom Brady. Playoffs. Yeah. Baker Mayfield to me, who was like on the outs of the NFL, is now a franchise quarterback. And the guy wins everywhere he goes. So.
What about someone who is likely to get paid like a franchise quarterback this offseason in Brock Purdy?
I'm going to say no. Now, do I think Brock's going to get paid $55-plus million a year? Yeah, I do. Just because you get paid like a great quarterback doesn't mean you're a great quarterback. This year, the injuries did him in. I thought he did a very good job, even in a loss up against Kansas City, especially in that first half. I thought he played well. But... like, I hate to do this off you take away. Like, if you put it this way, I think this is a fair thing. If you put Jalen Hurts on the Niners, does Jalen Hurts win that Super Bowl last year up against Kansas City? I think so. If you put Brock Purdy on the Eagles, do the Eagles win the Super Bowl this year? That I don't know. Because I think, right, a lot of times people just go, oh, Brock Purdy has too much talent. And that's what benefits him. And the same thing about Jalen Hurts. But if you swap them, which team do you think is better? And I could argue the Eagles have the better roster, but Jalen Hurts with the Niners, I think, is different if then you put Brock Purdy on the Eagles. So I'm going to say no on Brock Purdy.
What about Kyler Murray?
No, 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 no. Now, there was a thought, right, for a while he was good, and then he got hurt, And right before he got hurt, it was, okay, could you go from good to great? Now the question is, can he be good again? So franchise quarterback, no.
All right, last one. Any hope for Bryce Young being a franchise quarterback?
I think there's a lot of hope. His career after year one was in a miserable spot. And then this year, right, backed into the quarter bench, came back out, came swinging. But to say no doubt about a franchise quarterback, I can't go there yet. But he is actually, I think you could make the argument, he's the most intriguing player going into the NFL next year. Now, I don't know if it'll be that much national pop and sizzle with him that a lot of people will say that. But Bryce Young went from this guy to the dud, then career over, going to have to go somewhere else, to then, ooh, he impressed a lot of people. Like, that touchdown pass he threw late in the season when he did basically a Steph Curry celebration and turned around and started celebrating before the ball was even caught, that was nasty. All right, what does John Gruden say? You know, it got me feeling nicey. That got me feeling nicey. I'm intrigued, right? You're sucked back in on Bryce Young, but saying he's great, yeah, I'm not there yet. But I'm very intrigued to see what he's going to be able to do this upcoming season for the Carolina Panthers. All righty, Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. When we come on back, you'll hear from Diana Rossini, Jason Kelce, Greg Cosell, Jeremy Fowler, Aaron Rodgers, and James Cook on an abundance of NFL topics. We'll go rapid fire before we get on out of here. But first up with the latest update, you look like you could coach St. John's. really do.
Am I in shape? Is that what you're telling me now?
I'm saying you're in shape.
Got
you're
the red.
Wearing the, you know, more so that you're wearing the red. What is that?
Could be Canada red. New Balance.
Is that
actually
like a sweatsuit?
No, it's a three-quarter.
No, a three-quarter zip. That's right. Now, you really look like you could coach Johnny's.
Thank you. I'll
like if you were sitting behind the bench this weekend, I would think you're like a video coordinator and assistant coach.
There you go.
You got St. John's and UConn on Sunday.
Yeah. A lot of good games on this weekend for the New York area. Knicks Celtics, Knicks Cavaliers tonight. Rangers back-to-back, St. John's, UConn. It's a good weekend if you're a New Yorker.
I'm trying to make my way to Madison Square Garden.
There you go.
Sunday.
Very nicely.
Trying to get hooked up with a few free tickets.
NYU playing its home finale. Number two team in the nation. Number one women.
Give me the whole NYU thing.
The NYU women are number one in the nation. I think they've won 52 in a row. And the men are number two.
Wow.
Yeah. We're a juggernaut these days.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Did you? Oh, yeah. That's right. You went to NYU.
Yeah.
You and Kenny Albert.
Yeah, the gym's only about a half mile from where we're sitting.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Isn't it fun? I could be a when it comes to geography and knowing your surroundings, I could be a dope. When we were in New Orleans, the Riverwalk was adjacent to us, and I had no clue. No damn clue until Saturday. I was there for 9 days.
But you knew where to find Angelo's when you were in Philly.
Yes. Yo, you've been to Angelo's?
No, I want to go.
Oh, yeah. You got to go to Angelo's, Mama's, D'Alessandro's. We should go on a cheesesteak tour. Yeah. We should just take Ack. We'll drive Ack around. He'll be like the Pope of Philly, and he'll just get cheesesteaks. People will be feeding him cheesesteaks. Forget about the wafers.
All that weight I just lost coming right back just thinking about it.
By the way, last night when you texted me, and I'm watching the game, I had no clue what you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So with the McKinnon goal, I still don't know what you're talking
about. Well, I said yesterday that McKinnon and McDavid are the two best players on the ice.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
I remember you mentioning McKinnon. I'm like, what did he mention McKinnon about? And then you just text me, paid to know me. And I'm like, that's a very ominous paid to know me. I'm like, what are you, like, you leaving or something? Like, what's going on?
Nope, it was just because Nathan McKinnon, you know, made a great play, and obviously Connor McDavid, somebody left him all alone.
Yeah,
and that was it. And you know, it's funny because I mentioned that I thought that McKinnon and McDavid were the two best players, and then you got Crosby, who's third. Think about that,
Crosby, yuck,
great player, all time great.
There's no doubt about that. And Austin Matthews was the Maple Leafs version of Austin Matthews in the playoffs last night.
Well, I will say this about Sidney Crosby. For all that he gets grief from fans about the way he plays on the ice,
yeah,
great guy, apparently. Great guy.
You know what? I've interviewed Crosby once, and I've interviewed big stars before, and some of them can be douchey. I thought he was very respectful the one time I got to interview
him.
Like, I was actually impressed by him, and he's someone. It's like I like to hate him. Like, ultimately,
there are guys like that.
Really have no beef with him, but it's like, oh, the Penguins, the Rangers have beat the Penguins enough in the postseason. Yeah. He wins, so it's just easy to hate the guy that wins.
Yeah, it's like Draymond Green. You know,
does a little crying. Does a little crying there, Sidney Crosby. There's no doubt about it.
Yep.
And I love when Tortorella said those two whining stars all those years ago. But yeah, you do have to respect Crosby. There's no doubt about that.
Absolutely.
All righty, update time. Here's Zach. So there is a Twitter account It's called Psych Mamter. And they're actually very witty, who's ever behind Psych Mamter. Now, there's only five followers to Psych Mamter. Here are the five followers. Two porn-like bots, Abe Drinkin, Andrew Kaplan, who works here, and then I don't know how to say this guy's name. Chris Parasinen, I believe, is his last name, who works here behind the scenes. Those are the five followers. And I guess Chris, like, breaks NFL news. He sent me a question about a minute that I did. And he's like, you think Abdul Carter, he's got a little Warren Sapp in him. He's like, you think Abdul Carter is the best player in the draft? I go, yeah. He goes, well, I did you a minute. What am I missing on Abdul Carter? And I, like, explained it to him. And he goes, oh, by the way, I did this article. And he had, like, breaking news about something. I think it's, like, what one team or what the Browns or what the Rams said to a team in the top 10 of the draft. Like, what they want for Matthew Stafford. It was a first-round pick and then some. So I had a little encounter with Chris Parasine. Nice guy, though. But, yeah, of course, he's one of the five people following this Psych Mamter. Well, anyway, the reason I'm bringing up because Psych Mamter is participating in our Ask the Pros question of the day, and that's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Hey, Zach, if you, Mike, and Stu played hockey, what kind of game would you have? Hashtag Ask the Pros. I imagine Gell being a power forward, Stu a sniper, and Samter a Sean Avery pest.
I can see the pest part.
I can't really see Samter, though, like being the guy in front of the net. I could with the stick, like wagging it and all that. You could submit a question by tweeting at INS Sports Center, at Zach Gelb, using the hashtag Ask the Pros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, where all your car care needs, get guaranteed low price and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. I think Stu could be a power play force. I could see myself being an enforcer that just takes up a lot of space in front of the net. And Samter, you could be like Matt Zuccarello, like heart and soul guy, you know, quick, a lot of speed, and right is like the heart and soul of the team.
Theo Fleury, small, quick, agile. That's me.
Alrighty, I gotta just move this because I have to find a way to get in these audio cuts because I did a terrible job mismanaging the time earlier. Let's get to Jason Kelce on the New Heights podcast. I played blackjack with him. He had some bad luck at the casino in New Orleans. I didn't realize this when I was playing with him because I thought he won a lot of money that night, but go ahead.
I went to a New Heights party. I went to a Stapleton concert. And then outside of that, I just lost all my money at a casino. Because I won so much money last year at Las Vegas.
Got a good universe.
I thought, you know, hey, we'll just keep this rolling. This would be great. Yep, didn't work this time. This guy Tang flipped 21. I'm like, damn, Tang. No, how many should I just bend over and pull my pants down? Is that where we're at right now? I did get mad at Tang because he let somebody hit on a 14 when he was showing a 5. And I was like, Tang, that's a piece of move, dog. That's dealer etiquette.
What if the guy was just feeling it?
I think that, in all honesty, the person that hit was a little drunk. And he was continually having to correct her. And I think he just got tired of doing it. I saw that happen. And I was like,
that's
the
me
moment
sober.
That happened, I was like, this whole I'm losing all of my money right now.
So here's the thing, Jason Kelce. When he was in the private room with myself, Patrick Peterson, Bryant McFadden, and then also Kylie Kelce and Bo Allen, that was a better crowd where you don't have to worry about everyone doing stupid things. Like, yeah, I had a few drinks when I was there, but he won. And I guess as the week did go on, he lost. Welcome to the playing blackjack and roulette and all this stuff. You win one trip, you're definitely destined to lose the next trip. Here is Diana Rossini and the Rich Eisen Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network on Travis Kelce's future.
You know, I can tell you from just having a few conversations with people around the league over the last few days, there's definitely a sense that Travis is going to try to play more. I haven't heard anyone say, yeah, he's really struggling with what he wants to do. It's definitely leaning more towards that. That can, of course, change. This is going to be his decision only. I think they feel pretty good that Travis has got a little bit more left in him.
Yeah, I think he's got one foot in, one foot out right now. Can he definitely go play another season? Yeah, he's fallen off a little bit, but he's still almost a 1,000-yard receiving tight end. Here's Greg Cosell on the Ross Tucker podcast, surprising take on who's the second-best QB in the draft.
To me, the next best tape, okay, of a college quarterback that I saw was Tyler Shuck from Louisville. And I was fascinated by this kid. And I don't know where he's going to get drafted. It would not surprise me at all, Ross, if you start hearing his name, you know, hear people start saying, well, he's going to start moving up. He's 6'5", he's 224. This kid, I loved his tape. You know, he looks the part of an NFL quarterback. He's got clean mechanics. He stayed on the midline. You know, these are the little details that I look for. So many college quarterbacks, they drift. They create their own pressure. They don't do the little details of the position. I mean, this kid played 7 years of college football. I think he's a higher level prospect.
Perry Ellis.
I really do.
So who was his first? Samter, who was it?
Cam Ward.
Cam Ward was one, then Shaw two, and then I where's Shador Sanders? I think Ward and Shador Sanders are the best quarterbacks of this draft. Let's go to James Cook, Night Cap Podcast, or Shannon Sharp and Chad Ochocinco. He's made it clear he wants to get paid.
I just feel like we just do so much, like just like by going to practice and doing all the little right. And I just feel like we deserving of it. Like, why not? Like, we work all our life to get paid. Feel me, the big bucks. Like, why not, bro? Like, I want to go chase the highest of the highest. Like, and I'm going to keep doing it. Like, and I'm going to stand on what I stand on. Like, and I don't want to feel like a cancer at all, because I don't like all that attention and all that. Like, that's not me, honestly. Like, I'm just standing on business, man. And what I deserve, that's it, what I deserve.
3 years in the league, I believe. Just had a really good year. Wants to get paid. I get it, especially with the life of running backs of the NFL. Finally, TMZ Sports, Aaron Rodgers, your thoughts for your next team.
What is something you take into consideration? Like, what factors?
What factors?
Yeah.
If they want you?
If they want you, what else? Anything else? Like,
they got a good team?
Lovely.
Riveting stuff right there. Rodgers like, get this jabroni from TMZ away from me.
He's desperate.
All righty, Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. We'll be back on Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific time. Stu, Samter, Ack, thank you very much. Big thanks to each and every one of you for tuning on in, whether it's YouTube, SiriusXM, one of our affiliates on the Infinity Sports Network. We will talk on Monday, everybody. We out. Bye-bye. Have a great weekend. Peace.